당조 파바 젠데시 아니 니제 니제게 상제 탐제게 니제 아니 수베 넘버십에 파바 젠데시 예세 다디 아주야 솔립제야로 엄마니 뱀 홍세디 단다디 가상하게 이나 두 엄세디 가르침 요소는 다베 룽아 이숨세디 아니 상제이 아니 구성 투숨의 다바 겐 탐지게 세비게 아니 다베 룽아 이숨세디 다 많이 배매세에 많이 세에 노고 쳐 배매세에 이게 안에 동의 되게 아까 소리 매도 배마지 이게 안에 탑당 시에는 이게 천국을 했는데 이게 제자당 안에 유명한 예수님이 내 상식이 지금 바바 전제지기 꾸나신 때 유명한 예수님 오 답이 꾸스님 오 주야래야 안에 가는 염려 채워를 쓰네 안에 노보다 배매 이게 안에 땜비기 천비에다 탑시 람 탑시 이니 냠는 제오래 제사 파바 젠지지 코로야 람 탑시 이니 냠는 제제 안 답이 구스모 교아래 마하도 이니야 안 띠 냠는 제제 안 답이 구스모 교고 고래 해서지 먼저 띠고 시사로
Good afternoon. We're continuing then to look at the practice relating to Arya Chinizik, the deity of compassion, who holds with compassion all sentient beings. We're looking in particular at the mantra that one recites after making supplications to Arya Chinizik for blessings so that we can give rise to all the qualities of the Buddhas within us. We first looked at the first word of the mantra, that being Om, seeing how it symbolizes the pure body, the pure speech, the pure mind of all the Buddhas, in particular in this case, that of Arya Chinizik. So this is the resultant state that one strives to attain. So how to bring about this result? It's through cultivating the causes. And these then are represented in the next two words, Mani and Peme. Mani means jewel, Peme means lotus flower. And these symbolize the two streams of trainings or mental paths that one is to cultivate in one's continuum. Mani represents the method side that one needs to cultivate, and Peme represents the wisdom side. And these both need to be cultivated. These are the causes that need to be cultivated in order to attain the resultant state of Arya Chinizik, as represented by the first syllable, that of Om. Then yesterday we also mentioned how what the training encompasses. I mentioned this in an extremely brief format. So firstly, one generates the recognition that all sentient beings, without exception, we all want to experience lasting, stable happiness that's not punctuated by even the briefest or slightest feeling of suffering or ill ease. So all of us are the same in this way. Reflecting in this way, we then go to the second step of generating the aspiration, may all beings attain a state completely freed of suffering, attain a state of lasting, stable happiness. Then thirdly, we generate the aspiration, I want to guide them to achieve this state. I want to be able to skillfully lead them to develop all the causes within themselves to attain a state freed of suffering, state of lasting, stable happiness. And then fourthly, with the recognition that one right now is still very limited, often confused, not really knowing what is the best way to guide people, to interact with others. And then in the fourth step, commits to strive wholeheartedly to achieve the enlightened state of Buddhahood. In particular, in the case of this practice, the enlightened state of Arya Chenrezig. So these four steps, first recognizing the equality between ourselves and all beings. Secondly, generating the aspiration, may all beings achieve the state free of suffering and of lasting happiness. Thirdly, making the commitment that we ourselves take as a responsibility to guide others. And fourthly, to actually be able to do so, I have to strive to become the most skilled of guides, a Buddha, for the sake of others. Reflecting on this repeatedly over a sustained period is, in the briefest form, the training we need to engage in. So this term here, a train, we can understand also as to practice. And what it means is to transform our way of thinking, to develop our mental capacity.
Yesterday
we spoke about the very briefly again about some of the trainings that one engages in, such as love and compassion and bodhicitta, and also mentioned the others. And some of these we'll look at in more detail today, in particular those of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom.
That tobacco show some of you did some deal by some thing as a son you go about to Marva to Kumarva. Then I was a good option of Nangabe, it's handed by Kava the Chava Jiggy, some of them ye, Chava Chagmarva. Some of the Tendi by Kava Jiggy, some of the Loja Damja Jay, Savi Jella, that Tendi Kava Chay Dondala, Lojan Jay, the Jungle Shay, the Jungle, or Dina Jay, the Dangaji.
The key point here is that in one's meditation, when one gives rise to a wish to become a Buddha for the sake of others, when one gives rise to a powerful wish within one to have a positive impact on others, to never bring pain and misery into the life of others, and thereby commits to becoming the most skilled of beings for the sake of others. If one, no matter how powerful that aspiration is, that aspiration alone will not lead to the attainment of such a goal. And this is the case in all walks of life. If one wishes to become particularly skilled or renowned, or in a particular field, that mere aspiration will not lead to the attainment of the goal. If one wants to become a skilled scientist and help the world through science, one has to study, one has to train. Without that, one's aspiration cannot be fulfilled. So here, having generated an aspiration to become a Buddha for the sake of others, the specific trainings one needs to engage in are the six perfections of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom.
Some of the dinige samna de jangu gures jisa tonwe semba jang se de jimbe nyamnen ji se de soso le assembly a tambo di jang do chi gure soso gi ta pen de long jue ro dang ne le kare yin de pan do xian ye dong a se ya de di yu zhuo ya le ya soso gi ro ba kare ji tu gui na ji su ji sanbe samlo ji da an guan jue le ya fu ye ro kare na ji che bo fu ye da guan ji ji sanbe samlo ji ma zu jang gu le ji le
The first of the six perfections is that of generosity. So generosity, in brief, is the wish to be of benefit to others. And this can be expressed through our being of benefit to others through our bodies, so through physically being of benefit to others, through offering benefit to others through our material possessions, as well as through offering our virtue. So here, this training is primarily mental. In meditation, we're generating the wish to be of benefit to others through any of these ways. And here it's, as with all the trainings, it's imperative that we train ourselves repeatedly over a sustained period because we are trying to develop a very strong habituation to want to help others, to want to help others in any way we can whenever the opportunity presents itself. And why it's so important to train repeatedly over a sustained period is in proportion to the training that we engage in, more spontaneously or readily, the aspiration will arise to be of benefit to others, to aid others. And here, there are two streams that we can say that we direct our wish to make offerings towards. One is those of the three jewels, and the other is those of ordinary beings. So here we train ourselves repeatedly over a sustained period, generating the wish to make offerings, to be of benefit in any way we can, whenever we can. And the more we train ourselves, then the more readily we will help others skillfully and in accordance with our capacity.
Mm-hmm. On those china samba chang che samno nan du che sam da dang na ju gi ni pi che be so so gi da ji ge na ji wa kun zha ro da di yue ban da me na da ji ge ma zu yuan jia fu yuan na xin chi ne da mang bu me na ge yu ji li ya de ne ji le chu ji wo ji ya kun zhe ya ni sem jia tam jie san jie gu ba tu bi qi du an san jie le san jie tam jie fu yu san bei de ne sam da ya yuan jia qu pu ya da an me dou ru chung chung xin dai me dou ru xin yi pu ya ru so de ne ye an ni so pu ya da an di me bi ge da ma zu ge da ji ge xian le ya an zu ruo qi ya tuo le ya so zu ge ni bi ge jiao bi ge da 港土土的,你把土为呢,本来,当然是不信路,去路的话,这不中马路的,今天那卡拉路,对,所以今天这位呢,你光是不信,他们去,他光是路,光是啥呀,空阴街,什么,光是路啊,现在,这是不信,他们去跟咱的人,金边当归,什么,今天那个,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这,这 Sambati,
the training is primarily mental, and this is where we need to put our focus, cultivating ever stronger the wish to be of benefit to others, to ease their suffering. And we do, but we don't only engage in this practice mentally, we also do express it verbally, physically. And this we need to do in accordance with whatever our capacity is. So what's important is when we do make offerings, we do so wholeheartedly, with sincerity, without any holding back from our side. So therefore, we act in accordance with our capacity. So those who are impoverished, should they offer just one bowl of ordinary water to the three jewels? This can be a fabulous offering. The primary thing is that they do so with a good motivation. The motivation that they are making this offering to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And they're doing so in order to accumulate virtue on behalf of all sentient beings. So here they're just offering an ordinary bowl of water or perhaps a single flower. But they're doing so with a powerful motivation. And from this, great benefit comes. Likewise, if one has a little bit of leftover food, and one offers it, rather than just throw it away, one offers it to animals outside one's home, perhaps insects or birds or fish. In this way, benefit can come to others. And though this may just be some leftovers, so it doesn't have much in the way of value, if one has trained well, one's motivation will be powerful. One will be doing so with intention, not just throwing it away, but wanting to be of benefit to others, wanting to ease their burden of suffering. And in this way, great virtue is accumulated. And likewise with offering to human beings or to charitable organizations that help others, the more we've trained, the stronger our intention will be, the stronger our motivation will be. And this has the benefit not only that when we are engaging in offerings, that our motivation will be that much more powerful and thereby so to the merit, but we will readily seek out opportunities to be of benefit to others. And when those opportunities come our way, with joy, we'll take these opportunities, wanting to be of benefit to others. Should one not have trained well, then one will not even be aware of opportunities coming our way. So therefore, this process of developing our mind, developing this mind of generosity within us, is of crucial importance, because in dependence on the strength of its development, we will offer ever more and with greater sincerity. Through the practice of generosity, benefits come to oneself in this very life, as well as others, of course. For others, their suffering is eased. For oneself, great joy arises in one's mind at being able to be of benefit to others. And moreover, through the accumulation of this virtue in one's future lives, one will have favorable circumstances and material abundance. And this is needed. Ordinary beings require material resources and a variety of favorable circumstances in order not only merely to survive, but to continue one's spiritual development. When helping others, not only does this bring joy to oneself, but the recipient, they will be appreciative of being given assistance in their time of need. So therefore, right now, there's benefit for both oneself as well as others. And second training, that of ethical restraint. Again, it's primarily a mental training where one's cultivating the determination that today I will not harm others. I won't harm others physically. I won't harm others through my way of speaking. And I won't even think in harmful ways towards others. And this is what we need, this intention we need to generate again and again. And this is the training of ethical restraint.
And 네 소소이네 안 미션다이나 어 미디 상부도 배 야고도 기시나 야고시도 배 장부레샤스 미나 수고시에 맞아 체체디기 삼삼다벤 안 미기 시절야 거우치연 소소이네 세메기고 흘려셔고라 미 견주에 당가 지지지 장부 민도지 고요 주인시에도 고 고고 당가들 견주에는 소소네 기미와 체고 자 아 지금 루마 예수님이 예제되면 수림되고 소바이나 삼마디 두지안에 양도 땅바이나 딘딘 땅바디기 한 시한리안 강한 마제바 랑안리네 디기여바데 세디기 삼다 세치마 삼다베네 세치마 하다 미고바 토투고레 만돌 하다 미 깨워치마 하다 미고바 토구고에나 깨워링고에는 유디가레라선 능아스 예제되면 수림 소야되래 디 수림 소야되는 깨워치마 미바 하다 미고바 토구 규례 세상에 대해서 수림 소야되 뱀바스 계시 못 찾고래.
Through cultivating this determination not to harm others in any way, in dependence on the strength that we cultivate this, we then will restrain our physical behavior so that it doesn't bring harm to others. We'll restrain our way of speaking towards others so that we don't bring harm to them. And similarly, through cultivating ethical restraint, we'll restrain our general way of thinking so that we don't wish for harm to come to others in any way. Through training like this, then, again, there are benefits in this very life. We don't bring harm into the lives of others. Others will have confidence when they're in our company that we will not speak to them in an abusive manner. We will not take advantage of them in any way. We will then generate a reputation where people trust us, see us as honest and reliable. And through this, we will be able to help them and be of benefit to them in further ways. So these are some of the benefits, of course, that will come in this life, as well as our relations with others being harmonious. Moreover, in future lives, great benefit comes from the practice of ethical restraint. And in fact, it's a crucial practice because the training of ethical restraint is the primary cause for rebirth in the higher realms as a human or God. So, therefore, ethical restraint is of crucial importance. As Buddhists, the concept of reincarnation is something that we accept. And the goal that we have for ourselves of enlightenment is something that takes continuous training over an extensive period. So therefore, we need to ensure that our future rebirths are of a type that is suitable for spiritual development. Should one fall into a rebirth of an animal, spiritual progression is very difficult. No matter how much you care for your pets, you know you can't train them in the Dharma. You can't train them how to develop their minds. They can't read, they can't hear and understand teachings. So therefore, to ensure that we continue to achieve human rebirths is of crucial importance. And this is why ethical restraint is imperative for us who desire to spiritually progress, to become ever more skilled, to be of benefit to others. And the primary cause for rebirth as a human is ethical restraint. Hence, its great importance. First training we looked at was that of generosity, the wish to give, to be of benefit to others. Then we looked at ethical restraint, the determination not to harm. Then, in dependence on the training in these two, we come to the training on patience. So patience, in brief, is a mind, a patient mind is a mind that remains undisturbed in the face of adversity. So here, for example, if one is facing adversity from others, no matter what they may be saying or doing to oneself, should one be skilled in the practice of patience, one's mind stays open, spacious, relaxed, no matter what is being said to one or how someone is acting towards oneself. One's mind is not disturbed. One is not getting upset or angry at them, but rather one's mind is staying spacious, and thereby one can respond skillfully. So, for example, to show why patience is so important, we heard earlier, training in generosity, we want to be of benefit to others, and with ethical restraint, we'll do so in a way that doesn't bring harm. When doing so, it is quite possible that the person that we are helping may show some ingratitude. They may even criticize one for doing so. And parents, you will know that sometimes children can display this. And if one has trained well in patience, no matter what they're saying to you, even showing ingratitude despite you going out of your way to help them, you will not become upset. Your mind will stay undisturbed, spacious and calm. And this is important not only for your own mental well-being, but the problem of getting angry or responding with anger is not only then do you harm the person before you and you become unhappy too, but this is likely to harm your resolve to be of benefit to others, to help this person again. Seeing this person as ungrateful, you may give up on them. Whereas if one has trained well in patience, one's mind will stay relaxed and spacious and not be caught up in what's being said to you. And rather, one can be of benefit to that person. So therefore, this training in patience too is of great importance.
Sema 지수 차상 안도 매워 수요거래선 수요퇴야 갈래 하고 싶으래서 다 될래야 가르치고서 수수라랑 그 수비 냠는 지고래서 미시한다기 수수 뉴베 기베 나서 수수 심 맞춰봐 지수 힘자 되시 안 두시는 심 두시는 맞춰봐 뒤투어 지고 니저와는 다 미 망보게 지게 이 콩라스 하고 다음 요라시아 망보에는 수수 심 제도에는 수수 균내요 말 지금 수수 결시시 차이 심 기부용 그래야지.
The great Bodhisattva Shantideva, in his Bodhisattva's way of life, he gives the illustration of if the world is covered in, if the surface of the world is covered in thorns, one will be unable to clear them all away. But rather than trying repeatedly to sweep away thorns that cover the entire earth, if one just puts on shoes, one can travel anywhere and one's feet will stay unharmed. So similarly, the world is full of people, full of beings, who act in ways that we at varying times find disagreeable. There's no way that we can ensure that everyone we encounter always acts in accordance with our specific wants in that moment. It's not possible. What is possible is to train our minds well, so that whomever we meet, wherever we go, our mind stays calm and spacious, and thereby we can interact with anyone, no matter what their state of mind, no matter how they communicate to us, our mind stays undisturbed, and we are able to interact with them. From this space of calm and spaciousness, we can interact with them skillfully. If one's skilled in the training of patience, then great benefit comes to oneself as well as to all those one encounters. And patience is required wherever we find ourselves, whether it's amongst our family members, or our place of work, or society in general, because we do regularly encounter people who in slight ways or stronger ways act towards us in ways we don't always find disagreeable. In that moment, we don't necessarily find agreeable. But if we trained well in patience, this no longer becomes the case. Whomever we encounter, no matter what turmoil, inner turmoil they happen to be going through, no matter what verbal barrage they throw at us, our mind stays light and spacious. And this means we will not respond in a similar manner. We will not aggravate the conflict by responding in an unskillful way. Rather, because our mind is staying unafflicted because of the dominance of patience, wisdom will be able to shine through. So whilst this person before us is clearly overwhelmed by their afflictions, and they are acting under the control of those, we will not be, because of the presence of patience. And that means we can respond in a way that's skillful, that's specific to this particular situation, and help calm the situation, and at the very least, not exacerbate it. So therefore, when one practices patience, it doesn't mean one's a doormat. One responds, but one responds with wisdom.
Susuki, the Nepayo Bata, and Kiwachima, some dabbing, and Azuga, Milia, Kiwina,
In terms of the benefits of the practice of patience, it's clear the benefits in the short term in this life of being patient. One doesn't have conflict anymore. One's mind is not conflicted. One doesn't have aggression arising within oneself or annoyance even. So the short term benefits are clear for oneself and others. And then the benefits that come in future lives when these imprints ripen is that whomever we encounter, we readily establish harmonious relationships with them. We get on with all types of people and they naturally get on and enjoy our company. And why this is so important in the broader context of our spiritual ambitions is that it means we can readily be a positive influence in others in future lives. Our words will be readily accepted. We'll be able to have a positive influence in the lives of others in future lives. Hearing about the benefits of practicing generosity, ethics, and patience, it's clear that whether one is religious or not, these are important to do, because the benefits that one experiences even in this life are so worthwhile. But from a Buddhist perspective, where our focus is primarily on the results that will come in future lives, these three trainings are crucial. In particular, that of ethical restraint, because in order to achieve our ultimate goal, one has to have good rebirth followed by good rebirth, always needing to ensure we're creating the causes to attain a rebirth in the higher realms as a human or a god. And the primary cause is ethics. And moreover, though, merely be born as a human is insufficient, because we know that one requires a vast number of favorable circumstances in order to be able to continue our spiritual progression. If one, for example, is impoverished, then so much time, physical energy, and mental energy will go into ensuring that ourselves and our families merely survive. It will be difficult then to put time and energy into our spiritual development. So therefore, we also need the results of generosity in future lives to ensure that we have favorable circumstances to continue our spiritual development. And moreover, the practice of patience is crucial in terms of the ripening results in our future lives, so that we have harmonious relationships with others. We get on with all those we encounter, others like us and want to be in our company, and we can have a positive influence on others and thereby guide them too in the direction of virtue. So from our Buddhist perspective, thinking primarily at the ripening results of future lives, these three trainings are of great importance.
That
The fourth perfection is that of joyous perseverance. This then in brief means delight in virtue. What marks out this attitude or this mind of joyous perseverance is that when one engages in virtue, delight spontaneously arises within oneself. One isn't, for example, making offering to the three jewels because, well, that's what I have to do. One does so with joy. When one helps others, one doesn't do so out of a sense of obligation. One does so with delight in one's mind, taking joy in easing the burden of suffering of others. Likewise, with meditation, delight arises within one's mind when one has opportunity to meditate, rather than thinking, oh, I just have to do this sometimes. So here, we can see from the description that if, to the extent that one trains in joyous perseverance, one will want to engage ever more in virtuous activities, both those that directly have an impact on others and those such as meditation, which have an indirect benefit for others. So therefore, this training of joyous perseverance too is something we need to engage in repeatedly.
Gedi
Yeah, I also want to emphasize the importance of making prayer. So here, we need to generate the aspiration that in each and every future life, until I attain the state of a perfected being, until I rise with the pure body, speech, and mind of a Buddha, in each and every rebirth, may I meet a Mahayana spiritual teacher, recognize them as such, have great interest in receiving teachings from them, and putting those teachings into practice within myself with great vigor, and do so life after life after life until I become a Buddha. And throughout this sequence of, or this progression of lives, all the virtue that I keep creating, may it always ensure that I help others, that I help ease the burden of suffering in others, and help them in particular to accumulate the causes to achieve their own enlightenment too. So it's important then that we dedicate in this way as well.
だ新年準備やらや、まあ、自己だ、だんだら、新年準備やき、だ、自己、こう、忙碌よれて、いね、だ、自己、どるるし、しやまで、どせるから、やまれ。え、さ、だ、自己、新年準備して、あ、自己、先、ゆ、ぺね、こう、さんじ、ゆ、こう、ろぶし、みれや、せん、せいじ、ど、ね、せ、てれ、せいじ、ね、せ、ど、せ、さん、だ、ど、せ、こう、み、じ、だ、ど、せん、さんじ、こう、し、り、み、し、さんじ、こう、り、や、ろれ、
The fifth training is that of concentration. So concentration is particularly important for the complete eradication of all the afflicted minds. In order to be able to eradicate the afflictions at their very root, one needs a powerful, stable mind of calm abiding that can also analyze, so with meditative insight too. So when one initially cultivates single points of concentration, one can do so on any virtuous object. So just to take the simple illustration of a Buddha image, so one would look well at a Buddha image, gain great familiarity with it, then imagine it, visualize it before oneself, and then slowly try to hold that visualization with single-pointed concentration, without distraction, and when distraction comes, bring your mind back to the object, and do so repeatedly until one attains concentration.
那你那个这些都上当过苗的，刚才我们讲的，这些都那些绿的、新刚来的，刚来的，当过都是那样的，都是这些上当的，被新来刚啊新跑出来的新来刚啊蒙不里的，很舒服的，对，不毛那样的，舒服那样的，对那个啥么来工作，其实都是那光强样的，对那个是特别呢，绿的新来刚啊没吧，绿心性都加倍，电话下来是干。
The more immediate benefit that comes from attaining single-pointed concentration is that our current position of having such a distracted mind, a mind that constantly moves all over the shown with such difficulty, we try and hold an object just for a few moments, that will be gone. So too will all our physical discomfort, that will be gone. And this comes, is achieved from the very moment that one achieves calm abiding, because the mark of having attained calm abiding is the arisal of the physical and mental bliss of pliancy. When that arises within oneself, one's mind will no longer be distracted. One will be able to hold the object single-pointedly for as long as one chooses, and one will experience no physical discomfort either. The sixth perfection then is that of wisdom. So wisdom, there are many forms of wisdom. In brief or in general, what wisdom means is that it is the mental process of engaging in analysis or investigation. So this is something we all do in throughout our days. We think about, what is it that I want to achieve? Why do I want to achieve this? How can I go about achieving it? So the what, this involves analysis. The why, this involves analysis. The how, this too involves analysis. So all of this is the utilization of wisdom. And in the Buddhist path, all these meditations, almost all of them, utilize this process of wisdom, of analysis and investigation. But here, in the perfection of wisdom, it refers specifically to the analysis of the self. So, in very brief, one first needs to get an idea of what the sense of self is. How does the self seem to appear to our mind? Thereafter, we need to come to recognize the result of the sense of self that we have, which is that if we have an I, we therefore have a mind. Things that the I considers to be mine. For example, my friend, my possession, my enemy. recognizing this process, that it's because I have an I therefore have mine. Having mine, I therefore have the arisal of afflictions. Attachment for my friend. Aversion towards my enemy. Attachment for my possessions, and so forth. So here, the training of wisdom is to first to see how the I appears, and then to investigate, to see, does it exist in the way that it appears or not? This first step of the meditation is to recognize how the self appears to us. This is a crucial step. So the way the I appears to us as if it is as if it is independent, meaning it's not. It appears as if it is not dependent. What does it appear not to be dependent on? For example, the sense of I appears to be independent of our body. And it appears to be independent of our mind. It appears as if it's separate from these two. So this is how the I appears to us to exist. Where then this is usually expressed is that the I or the self appears to us as being independent of the aggregates of the body and of the mind. So for example, if someone says, how are you? And you say, oh, my arm is aching. I'm in pain. And they'll say, your arm is sore. And I say, yes, I'm in pain. I say, are you your arm? And of course you'll say, no, I'm not my arm. So here we're feeling pain in our arm. We express ourselves as I am in pain. But we see the sense of self as being something other than our body. Yet we talk in this way.
Then,
going through a process of analysis similar to this one, first recognizes how the I or the self appears, and then investigates to see if one can find the self existing in the way that it appears. And one does, through doing this analysis, one will come to see that such a self cannot be found anywhere. And that is when one comes to an understanding of emptiness. One comes to recognize that the I or the self is empty of existing in the way that it appears. This is the understanding of emptiness, that the I is empty of existing in the way that it appears, and the consciousness that understands this is the consciousness of wisdom, the wisdom being the mind of analysis. So here we have wisdom that has understood emptiness. And in the mantra that you've been reciting these last days, this process of analyzing the nature of reality is symbolized by the syllable Padme.
Om Sedi Kusum Da Sangi Kusum Kusum Fusum Dabi Kusum Di Kusum Se Di Tobe Gudi Lam Tashini Si Beme Sed Beme Hum Se Lam Tashini Bodu Sung Jesu Kom Guri Sed Lam Kom Guri Sing Anjin and Dus Yam and Chevana and Dabi Kusum or Yutu Guri Sed Kom Tan Ruzi Dordu Ruzi Shina Dinesia.
The first syllable of Om. This symbolizes the pure body, pure speech, and pure mind of the Buddhas, in this case, that of Buddha Chenrezig. And the method for achieving that is mani, so that of the method side, such as compassion and love, and pedme, the wisdom side. And hum symbolizes the union of these two, that they both need to be trained in. then just to summarize what we've spoken about then today. And the way that I'll present this now is just in a very brief meditation that I hope you can take away from here and engage in regularly. Because sometimes in your life, you may have more time, and this meditation that I'm presenting, you can do in far greater detail. But often, you maybe don't have so much time, and in this meditation that I'll present now, literally will take a few minutes. So for example, when you rise in the morning, you generate the wish, as all sentient beings are the same as me, wanting only to experience happiness and to be freed of pain and misery, may all sentient beings, myself and all sentient beings, achieve this, the state of lasting happiness, freed of pain and misery. May I become someone, may I be the person who helps guide others to the state of freedom. May I become a person who can guide others skillfully so that they can attain qualities that lead them to achieve a state freed of pain and misery. And then one makes a commitment. I will become that person. I take this, I make this as a promise. I will become a Buddha, the most skilled of guides, for the sake of others. And this way we generate bodhicitta. Thereafter, we can make some offerings on our shrine to the three jewels. And if you're really short of time, whilst you make your offerings, you can go through the rest of the meditation, thinking that in the same way that I'm making offerings now to the three jewels, in all my activities throughout today, I will look for opportunities where I can be of benefit to others in any way, whether through my physical behavior, my way of speaking, certainly my way of thinking. Whenever, wherever I can, in accordance with my capacity, be of benefit to others, I will do so. So here, we're practicing generosity. Moreover, today, whatever I'm engaging in, whomever I'm encountering, or when I'm alone, I will ensure I do not directly or indirectly bring any harm to others through my physical behavior, my way of speaking, or even my way of thinking. And here, we're practicing or we're meditating on ethical restraint. And thirdly, reflecting on patience, we reflect that whatever unwanted circumstance I encounter today, I will ensure I keep my mind calm and spacious. Whether this unwanted circumstance comes from an external cause or comes about from my own inner turmoil, I ensure that I keep my mind calm and spacious with the wish to be of benefit and not to harm at the forefront of my intention, and thereby respond solely with kindness and with wisdom. And then we can generate great joy at how fortunate we are to be able to engage in this meditation, even if it's now it's maybe taken 3 minutes, even if that's all we have time for right now, how fortunate we are, because we're creating habituation in this way. And then we dedicate with prayers, like mentioned before, that from lifetime to lifetime, may we always attain good rebirths and meet a Mahayana spiritual friend, recognize them as such, have strong interest in receiving teachings and training in these, and make wholehearted efforts. And all this virtue, may it always ensure that all beings live in accordance with the Dharma, and may we all attain a state freed of suffering. So this is a very quick meditation. It's just taken a few minutes, and it is a meditation, and that is a thought process. So if you have these few minutes in the morning, then I'd encourage you to do it. And I'd also then encourage you to, during the course of the day, look for where you have a few minutes, whether it's driving your car or boiling some water, and repeat this reflection. Because meditation means habituation or familiarity. And the more one does this, the stronger the familiarity comes. And in this way, through meditating like this in the morning, perhaps, or certainly too, if one can do it in the day, and then again in the evening, quickly we'll become habituated in this way. And then we'll start to see the results in our daily lives, how we respond to situations differently from before. And then lastly, we can remind ourselves of the results of this, because the stronger habituation is, the stronger the results will be. which means better rebirth, more favorable circumstances, and more opportunity and skill in being of benefit to others. And I just want to say that all of you have come here to engage in this retreat, recite the mantras, and engage in these meditations. This brings really great joy to me. And moreover, independence on you coming here, I've had the opportunity to explain the Mani mantra. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I'm also aware that many of you traveled quite a distance to come here. I recognize some who've come from Adelaide, and I understand that there are others who have come from even further afield. So again, thank you so much for doing so. And we can also be certain that the holy beings in our world, such as Zopa Rinpoche, he will be particularly joyous that all of you have come together here to engage in these meditations and accumulate these mantras. So when we come to dedicate the virtue, please dedicate that all sentient beings attain both temporary happiness, such as freedom from the pandemic and all other sufferings, as well as the lasting stable happiness of enlightenment. And then lastly, Happy New Year for tomorrow, and I really wish you all the very, very best in terms of your spiritual development, health and well-being for the years to come. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.